Amen. Let's go to Galatians 3:1. We're talking about faith, so I'm just going to stay with that. It's kind of a short word for you since we're doing all this that we've done, but God knows. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians. Don't you like Galatians?
Oh, yeah.
It's the one that teaches you grace, a lot of grace. Amen. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you crucified? By the way, Danny, that was awesome. Still thinking about it. It was really, really good the way she put that together. Three M's and all those F's. I'm finally making F's that are not at school. That was really good. And you got that, didn't you? It's real easy to know what we do here. Praise the Lord. And culture is so important, as well as vision. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Lord, thank you for this word, that it comes forth clearly, unhindered from any outside force, in Jesus' name. So evidently someone has fooled them into thinking or believing something they shouldn't. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So we received the Spirit of God by faith, did we? We received Jesus by faith. We didn't work for it. We didn't work for our salvation. It's a gift of God. It's by grace we are saved through faith. This salvation has been given to us. Well, Abraham was way before the law, was he?
Yeah.
Amen. And so he's long before the law. So we are way after the law. After Jesus came, everything changed. So we live by faith in the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ Jesus, not by the law of sin and death. We do not live in condemnation. If you're living in condemnation, you're doing it wrong. Amen. You need to go free of that. We do not live cursed. And I want to put an emphasis on that today. You're not living under the curse. You say, well, I may have some inherited things. Well, just rebuke those things then, because they're the lie of the curse. But you're not cursed. You have God's DNA now. Amen. You remember when Jesus took the man outside of town because he was going to spit in his eyes? Notice he took him outside of town before he spit in his eyes. How do they test people's DNA? In their spit, in their saliva. Jesus' DNA was in that saliva.
Wow.
He put it on the man's. He put it in. Okay, now when you were born again, that came into you. Amen. You're not condemned and you're not cursed. And I don't care what grandpappy did or daddy did. Your daddy is God. So Christ has redeemed us. You know the scripture very well. We talk about it all the time. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing can come on our lives. And the blessing is on our lives. So we believe God. We trust Father with our lives. We experience the promises by faith. We are people of faith. We have a working knowledge of faith. We are taught by faith experts. We're leaving this afternoon to go visit the top faith expert in the world. What a beautiful thing. It's so wonderful to get to do that. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. Some Christians don't even know what faith is. They just think that it's being a Christian. Well, my faith is that I'm a Christian. Some people are Muslim. Some people are this, da, da, da. But my faith is that I'm a Christian. That's what people think. They haven't even looked into what faith means. Some people think that faith is their denomination. But that's not true. Pentecostal to Presbyterian. Doesn't matter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So, but what we have, these people praying for, you know, thinking faith is just their denomination. They just live life praying the wrong prayers and then accepting defeat as the will of God. But when you learn faith, I should have got a better amen on that one for sure. You think I should say it over again?
Yeah.
I think those people who think that their faith is their denomination, I think they're just praying the wrong prayers and just accepting defeat as the will of God.
Yeah.
Better. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, but we know the truth. And let me tell you why we know the truth, church. Because the Bible says study. Study to show yourself approved. And so on, so on, so on, so on. We'll get to more of that in a minute. But what you really know about the truth, if you read the Bible, but you didn't study it, it would be very little, of course. But what we know about the Bible, because we do study it, is that you need to know the language it is written in. Am I right? You need to know the culture of the times. And you need to know the groups the Bible was written to. And if you don't have a clue about that, then you get off on stuff like women need to be silent in church. And you have whole people everywhere thinking that that means women can't talk from the time they come in the door, which nobody believes because you know, they're all in the Sunday school classes and cooking and doing all that stuff. But when you go back and look at the culture and you find out what Paul was really saying, those women were coming in with a false doctrine. He was telling them to shut to the up about that because they were not telling the truth. But if you don't bother to go in and find out how the word is divided. See, that scripture said rightly dividing the word. You're going to have to look into the Greek. You're going to have to look into the Aramaic. You're going to have to look into the Hebrew big time and find out what the word is saying. You're going to have to know that the word of God is for three different groups of people. The Jews, the church, and the nations. And not all of it is about you. It's all written for you to look at, but it's not all about you. Jesus in the Gospels was talking many times to the Jewish people, particularly about the end times. I'm going to have to leave that alone, but it's there. Amen. But see, the good thing about you is that's what you want to do. You want to rightly divide the word. You wouldn't be at this church if you didn't.
Right.
So, you are what the Bible said you could be because you searched out the scriptures and the mysteries. Yeah. The Bible says that kings, it is our privilege to search out the mysteries. Those mysteries are not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. Remember what I always tell you? Parables are protectors. Because some people, once you know a truth, you're responsible for it. And some people don't want or need to be responsible for things. So until they're ready to go ahead and get those truths, that parable will just have to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you want to go deeper. That's who you are. And you understand how faith works. You know, I could ask any person in here And they would say, it's fed by the word of God. It rises as you hear and hear. It is now. It's a force that operates in the eternal realm. It's a bridge. It's a substance. It's literally quantum material waiting to manifest in this realm. We understand that. We understand that. But we didn't get that because we just looked at something and in two dimensions. Yeah. We got that because by the Spirit of God, we were able to rightly divide the word as we learned the language, the culture, and who it was written to.
Yeah. That's good.
And we know this, that without faith, we can't please him. Why? Because he can't please you. He can't get the promises to you if you don't believe anything. Faith is believing. Faith is acting on what you believe. And he can't get those to you unless you become a faith person. Unless you're willing to have some faith. But if we do have faith, we can remove the mountains, we can root out the evil, we can hear God, we can win wars, we can raise the dead, we can heal the sick, we can deliver the captives, and so on and so on. We are able to do greater works because we have faith in God. Amen. By faith you receive the favor of God. By faith you step out into new places. By faith you get up instead of laying down. I said by faith you get up instead of laying down. I said by faith you get up instead of laying down. Praise the Lord. By faith you do all the things that those who are in the hall of faith have done.
Yeah.
I like Enoch's. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like all of them. Everybody in the hall of faith. But when you see the ending of that chapter, it's not over. They're waiting on us to finish fulfilling it. And if they fulfilled what they did or began that walk, then we're going to have to end it with faith. God created the universe by faith. Amen.
Amen.
By faith, you're wearing the blessing, church. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the story of Balak and Balaam?
Yeah.
You know, the donkey story?
Yeah.
Be nice to see the angel stop a few donkeys.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
I'm going to leave that alone. We'll drop that over into the patriot side. Okay. I love everybody. So, Balak is this guy who's kind of been a good warrior. And so, Moab chooses him to be their leader, so they call him king. That's who he is. But they're sitting out in their land, and they begin to see millions of people come in and begin to camp down in their land. And they've heard about these people. They've heard about these Israelites. And they've heard that nothing can stop them. So Balak's getting nervous. So he sends some people to go get this guy. The Jews call him Balaam. I call him Balaam because I'm from Texas. They send him to go get Balaam. Now what you need to know about Balaam is that he's a prophet, but he's non-Jewish. He's a Gentile. The Jewish people say that when God did something for one group of people, he gave them something for the other. You can take that or leave it, but he actually is a Gentile prophet. Now, the interesting thing written about him is he did some sorcery along with it, okay? So he would do incantations. Why? Because he didn't know God, okay? But the thing about him is God did visit him in the night times. So God would show up when God needed for him to tell the truth, even to the Gentiles who didn't really, they had a bunch of gods. Y'all get the picture? I have to do short version here because we don't have a lot of time today. But so, these people camping out here, they have this reputation. And he's telling this guy, he says, I need you to come and curse these people. Now, there's two words for curse in the Hebrew. One of them means curse and just move them off. And the other one means curse till they're destroyed. Now, he wanted to just curse and move them off. He just wanted a light dust, I guess, you know, curse, whatever you want to call it. So in Numbers 23:19, if you want to look at that with me, this is going to be Balaam telling Balak what God told him, because God did come to him and say, you can't curse them. They're blessed. They're already blessed. You can't curse what is already blessed. You can't curse what is already blessed. You can't curse what is already blessed. Okay, so in Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Thank you, Jesus. Nor a son of man that he should repent. In other words, he's not going to go back on what he says. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? But I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. You ought to just take that right there. God has blessed you and the enemy cannot reverse it. Take it by faith. That's what we're talking about here. So he says, verse 21 says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. You can't curse what is blessed. Now, I want you to notice it says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob. Now, let's just, in case you're new or you're watching online and you're just getting into studying to show yourself approved, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, okay? So all of these, Isaac inherited the blessing from Abraham. Jacob inherited the blessing from Isaac, his father. And then the 12 sons inherited the blessing. And Joseph got a little extra favor thrown in there. He had a prophetic anointing on his life. Now, so you know these 12 tribes, after all the Joseph stuff, years later, they're over and Moses has to get them delivered from Egypt. But they actually went in there and delivered Egypt. Amen. Amen. So just I'll give you a little history so you realize what's going on there. So they came in by blood. You came in by blood. You came in by the blood of Jesus. And you came in by faith in the blood of Jesus. Therefore, you have total right, absolutely right, to claim the blessing. And to claim that you are not cursed. Now, so what it, remember it said no iniquity? So he's not looking at wickedness, church. How many times have you heard people come in and say, well, I didn't know if the roof was going to fall in on me because, man, I came out of some stuff. Well, welcome to the club. Everybody came out of stuff. But the thing is that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are free. You don't live in condemnation and you don't live under the curse. And God is not looking at all your horribleness. Glory. Now, Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. So for his sake, he doesn't want to look at it. You got that? Do you remember there's a couple of guys in the Bible, Moses being one of them, that says, I stutter. Do you, you sure you want me to do this job? Are you sure it's me? And God just like goes right on and ignores that. He was ignoring it. Why? Because he wasn't going, well, let's see, you're bad about this, you're bad about this, you're bad about this, but I think I'll, no, he did the same thing with Gideon. Gideon's like, He did the same thing with Saul. I'm just a Benjamite. We're the least of the troops. Our family's the least of the Benjamites. But all the, God's not looking at that. That's not how he chooses.
No. That's right.
If you're available, you'll be chosen. Praise the Lord. So I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Here's 26. But put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. So now what he's saying is, I'm not looking at it. Now I need you to say something. Okay? So God erased the memory of all your evil. Jesus has paid for all of your sins. Eternally. Amen. So now what you need to do is tell him who you are. Who are you? I am God's faithful servant who will do whatever is made plain to me because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And as somebody sang it so beautifully before, I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. And that's what he's trying to say here. You're going to have to get a different view of yourself. See, you're not the worrier anymore. I'm going to go ahead and get up in your business right here too. You're not the controller anymore. Yeah, that's true. You're not. Well, I need to help everybody make their decisions. No, they were given a will. You're not their will. Amen. Amen. But I'm just going to tell you that you're not the sufferer anymore. Now, there are some things that you suffer due to things other people do, the world we live in and stuff like that. There's some suffering going on and resistance and stuff. But it's not God ordained that you should lay in the bed and be sick all the time or act depressed all the time and all. That's not God's will. Amen. Y'all, I don't have a long time, but y'all understand all that. So state your case. That's what faith does. We state who we are. Notice when I ask who, everybody just said, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They're stating who they are. So we declare that we're blessed. We are not cursed. We will not participate in any form of the curse. Now, I'm going to call this to your attention. All that we have, all that God has given to us, is not in manifestation automatically. Why? Why is it not? Why when you got born again just... Why didn't everything just happen? Because there's a devil ruling the airwaves here. And he has lease on this place. So you have to use your authority, your faith, and bypass his stuff. Amen. Kick him out. Remember what I told you the other night? I said, you're going to have to take your joy away from the devil because he wants it. You're going to have to get your mind working right. You can spin and spin and spin and work all night and think about it and try to worry about things and what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. You are wasting your time because you can just tell this world and tell your land, your life, your house, your what's around you. Just tell it what you want it to do.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
We are mountain movers, aren't we? Because you have authority. But what we do there, because there is this ruling power, we use tools. I've been doing some extra watering, and thank you, Jesus. Almost all the brown spots are gone out of the yard. I'm caught up and I have two wonderful gentlemen that are going to keep my yard green while I'm gone. Thank y'all. And I had to take this old sprinkler off. I was going to put another one on, a bigger one on, and I couldn't get it off. But I have tools. So, you know, I may not have had the strength that's got, you know, stuff on it. What do you call it? Water hardness stuff on it. Lime deposit, thank you. Water hardness stuff. That sounds like a Dannyism. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so I got my tool and it took like 1 second to get it off.
Yeah.
Instead of my little hand here, I stuck that on the rock and it came off. Well, you have tools.
Yes, we do.
You have tools.
Yep.
Amen. And so what we do is we use those tools so we can get what we need here and get what we need to help this gospel go forth. Amen. And so your tools are real easy. They're faith, hope, and love. Those are your tools. Faith is your tool. Hope is your tool. Love is your tool. Those are your spiritual tools. Your heart is your spirit is your tool. It's what you work from. And then the physical tools. Your Bible, your mind, and your mouth.
Praise God.
Your Bible, your mind, and your mouth. Now, if you get all those working together, you're going to have something.
Yes.
You're going to have something. See, he's like, well, I just can't control my mind. The Bible says you can.
Yes.
The Bible says that you can cast down imaginations. The Bible says you can, over in Romans 12, it says you can renew your mind so you will not be conformed to this world system. You can renew your mind so you can read the Word. Don't read the Word just to learn something. Read the Word so you can know Him. Thank you, Kelly. I heard her say that this morning. Thank you, Jesus. That's just the truth. Amen. So use those tools. 2 Timothy 2:15, we'll go back to this scripture as we're going to close here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What that means is endeavor to cultivate and improve your heart and your mind. Endeavor to cultivate those. See, life is always going to be hard out here if you don't cultivate these two things.
Oh, wow.
If you don't dig up the fallow ground, church, the devil's not afraid of you. You understand that? He's afraid of the word. And when you have working word, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have overwhelming power. I am an overcomer. I'm a victor. You don't have to quote it in King James. Just learn what the Bible says. The Bible says I'm an overcomer, devil.
Yeah.
Amen. And you start putting that in your heart. That's your spirit man who has power. That's what, it's not just your mind. And then your mind you renew. You begin to make, like Miss Caroline Leaf used to teach us, you make new trees.
Amen.
You go in here and you get rid of the worry tree. Get rid of the complaining tree. Come on. Get rid of the complaining tree. Get rid of that pity party tree. I love y'all. Is this the truth? But you can do it. You can train just like you train like the Victory Fit mama here. She trained people. Danny was just saying, it would just do a hardcore army camp for us. I put it out there for you. A quick camp when we get back from the convention. I said, yeah, y'all would enjoy that, I'm sure. Anyway, I can't quite keep up with them, but I will someday because I'm not losing hope. And anyway, praise the Lord. Now, but you see what I'm saying. You see where I'm going here. You can train yourself. That's not my thought. Get out of here. What should you be thinking about all the time? I'm letting the Lord remind you of something right now. What should you be thinking about? You should be thinking about Jesus. What your assignment requires, your family, your loved ones, but you shouldn't spend any time worrying about your kids.
No.
And you shouldn't spend it. If your kids are grown, you shouldn't be spending any time trying to control them.
Right.
And you shouldn't be spending any time in your mind trying to figure out what they should do.
No.
You should, that should be God's job.
Right.
Same way with all the people in your life. Well, they should do so and so. Well, your opinion is worth nothing. It has no power. It has no authority. It's just speculative. I'm preaching really good right now. It's just getting quieter now that I'm poking here, see, but that's all right. Because this is helping you, because you can stop wasting your time. Start looking at your vision. Start looking at what you can do for people, how you can love people, what's important to God, what you can spend your time on with them.
Right.
We all want good things for our families. I do. I think about my child every day. I still have a picture of him as a baby right next to my bed. I love my child. Believe me. He is it. But he's grown. You know what would have been my heart? I wanted him to move up here with us. But he's grown. I don't even dream about that. Because he's grown and he's got to do what God called him to do. And one day, those two little girls right there are going to do what God wants them to do. And all the rest of y'all's kids, they're going to do what God wants them to do. These two right here are going to do what God wants them to do. And you won't be able to sit out in their driveway with some binoculars and a donut watching them. I'm helping you, Amanda. I'm just playing around. We'll finish up. But the truth is you can change your thinking. Why worry? Okay, Lord, yes. Let me just say this to you as we're going to close here. Depression is an inward temper tantrum. You're like, well, you don't understand. It's a chemical imbalance with me. I do understand, but I also understand Jesus can heal you from that.
Right.
I do. And I'm not belittling that. And you need to do what you need to do and get help for that. But there are many people who start out in depression just because they're having a pity party because things aren't going their way. And that should not be named among the church, because we should just be full of joy, because we have faith in God. We know how to use our faith. We know how to divide the word. Yes, but it hasn't rained. Well, that's probably because of your mouth. We need you to join us. It's raining. Well, it's too hot. How many times do you walk into the restaurant? It's hot. It's hot. How many times has that been said over the last 54 days?
Oh my. Wow.
I command a crop failure over that. As a prophet of God, I command a crop failure over every hot word that has been spoken over our area in Jesus' name. And I declare that it's cool and raining. And I say La Nina leaves the United States. That La Nina, not Los Niños. Los Niños. Los Niños. Help me, Loopy. I'm lost. Find out truths by looking at the language, looking at the culture, looking at the context. I forgot to mention that. You need to look at your context and look who the writer is talking to or about. I'm going to say it to you again. If you're brand new at studying your Bible, you are going to learn the language. You don't have to speak it. You can get a Strong's Concordance. That's all you need. Strong's Concordance will tell you what every word means. The language, the culture of what was going on in that day, the context, and who the writer is talking about, the Jews, the church, or the nations. We would have gotten rid of so much stuff if early on people would have divided the word rightly, like Melchizedek. All the stuff about Melchizedek. And then you go look in Jewish history and it tells you who he was. He's Shem. And he's one of Noah's sons. But you can't get that if you're just going to read just two dimension here. Yeah. Study to show yourself approved. Get the Strong's Concordance. Look at the words. Maybe look at what some of the rabbis say. Now you understand you're saved. And you're New Testament, so you have to watch out and listen to the Spirit of God. But there are all sorts of helps out there to help you. You can't believe every commentary, but you can believe the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what you're going to do. That's how you're going to stay in faith when you do those things. So make a quality decision. Make a decision you're not going to go back on. to believe the promises, to believe that they're yours, and to believe that you're blessed and not cursed. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm not cursed.
I'm not cursed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Tell three people they're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Well, it's getting exciting in here. It's turning to a blessed rodeo. Luke 18:7. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. There you go, patriots. He will avenge them speedily. That should be your confession. Jesus said that. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, here's the question. Will he really find faith on the earth? And I'm happy to report to you that as you were told by our lovely other pastor, that faith will always be found in Victory Church. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Have faith in God. Use faith. Teach faith. Teach your children faith. Teach your grandchildren faith. Take them to the convention. Do whatever you have to do. Well, you know, we just want miracles and we just want the glory. How are you going to get the glory without faith? How are you going to live every day? What are you going to do? This has to be the first thing we go after, is to live by faith. And I believe by faith that we had some very glorious experiences, particularly on our Tuesday morning prayer. Wow, it was really something this last time. We almost couldn't even say words because of the presence of God. But we're doing it. And in the future, we will go back to having some Sunday night glory meetings. We're just taking a round and getting everybody up to where they need to be. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word of faith. We thank you for faith. We thank you, Lord, that we have it, that you've given every person a measure of faith. We thank you that they're able to cultivate it, to build capacity with their faith. We're going to do that this week. We're going to build capacity. Those of us that are going and those of us that are going to watch it on TV, we're all going to build capacity. Our faith is going to be stronger, wide open than ever before. And we're going to use our faith to raise up the next generation, to work through this awakening, and to continue to build the road for our soon coming King. Jesus, we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.